Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. It's now time for Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Samantha Smith. Our guests today are Nathan, Chad, and Liz here from Hippie Fiasco, taking some time out to talk with us today. First of all, thanks guys for taking some time out to chat.
Absolutely, our pleasure.
Well, first of all, take a second here and kind of introduce yourselves and your guys' role in the whole fiasco as it is, and then tell us what exactly a Hippie Fiasco is.
Why don't you start, Liz?
What?
We'll just get you out of the way because I know you're hurting. Just say who you are and what your role is.
Oh, that's all I have to do?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Liz Bunny, and I'm a business model. Work merch and flair.
Very nice.
Or flair.
Two very, very important things. And that's only the beginning of our duties, but that's the official job description.
I like it.
I'm Chad Galactic, and I am the road manager, and I do a lot.
Again, only the beginning of his duties.
Sure.
That's the official job description. And I'm Nathan Moore, and I'm the folk singer, the musician, that's pretty much all of my duties. My official description, that's the end of my responsibilities.
For your editor.
Oh yeah, I'm also the geek, the resident geek. That
very cool.
Likes, that actually likes figuring out all this technology.
Sure. So tell us, what exactly is a Hippie Fiasco?
Well. Hippie Fiasco, the origin of it was last year. I flew out to play a festival, and Chad picked me up at the airport, and we went and played the festival. And I was supposed to just play the festival and then fly right back home. And I was supposed to get paid well, and I flew out all the way to California for the festival. And when we got there, the festival had gone bankrupt, and nobody got paid. And it was pretty legitimately could be described as a Hippie Fiasco, and I forget who even said it first, but I was supposed to get on a red eye and fly home, but I'd paid all this money to get out there, and then I didn't get paid, and something just clicked in Chad and I almost simultaneously, and we canceled my flight home. We got our hotel room in Red Bluff, California, an extra day, and launched a week-long tour that we called Hippie Fiasco Rides Again, an effort to recoup my losses, and what ensued was the most magical week of my life. I've been touring for about 20 years, and especially since the last few years that I've been just doing the solo folk singer thing more and more, I'd never really had a very exciting solo tour. I'd had lucrative ones or promising ones, things like that, but nothing that was just really vibrating and exciting. And Hippie Fiasco, the first day, this guy was at the show and said, come back to my place, I make t-shirts. And he made us a Hippie Fiasco t-shirt. But after the first gig, the second gig, someone showed up with the most amazing posters I'd ever seen. So already, like, the level of participation and us all sort of telling this story. I mean, the idea was that life had given us a lemon, and we set out to make lemonade from it, and everybody got it. Everybody understood, and everybody helped turn the lemon into this batch of lemonade that changed our lives. And so that's where it began. That was last year. That was a week long, and it was the most exciting solo tour I'd ever done, and the most lucrative, and the first one that was really attached to a story that really made the music thrive in a different way. So it was something. It seemed like a model for something. And so I had a tour coming up this year with a couple of months ago with ALO, and Chad and Liz were my crew, and we left a week after that to do Fiasco, which was just let's not book any gigs, we'll just Fiasco and see who calls us, and we'll do spontaneous gigs. And we did that week, and it was fun, but it didn't have that, it wasn't bubbling like the first one. It wasn't, we realized that the problem was that we didn't actually have a lemon. We'd just gotten done doing this fun tour with ALO, and we were just hanging out playing cool shows for a week, and it wasn't really a lemon. And that's when we decided to set up for 4 months into America completely spontaneously in a Suburban with 330-some thousand miles on it and not a single gig booked. And at the same time, we started webcasting our shows and realized that it was possible to do it 24/7. So we on every level, we decided to bite off more than we could chew. And here we are.
And how has the journey been so far? I know you said that the first week went pretty successful, but how is this 4 month journey going?
Well, we've been out for a month and a half now, and it's been amazing, actually. There's so many things that are going on. We're encouraging people to bring their instruments to the shows to form what we're calling the Morchestra, to play along with me and to fulfill the sounds I hear in my head when I write. A lot of songs I write, and I hear symphonies and choirs and rhythms and all these things in my head. So we've been encouraging the audience to try to become the Morchestra. And on so many levels, what's happening and what's unfolding, and the level of participation that we're asking for is huge, but the level of participation that's coming back at us is even bigger than we expected. The fact that we're doing this stream 24/7 has created realities I didn't even know existed in terms of people traveling with us and communicating with us every step of the way. To the point where I'll be writing a song and someone will throw in a good line. And I've been collaborating with strangers, and like, just there's so many levels of things that are going on that's pretty mind-blowing.
Sure. And can you talk a little bit about how kind of a fiasco gets set up? And basically, you're coming here to Knoxville early next month. How did, you know, that come about for you to come here to Marion County and visit us in the area?
Why don't I turn it over to the road manager, Chad Galactic, here. He's been fielding all the requests, and he runs the hotline and all that.
What really happens, as Nathan pointed out, we're only going to places that we're called, and the way that happens is somebody becomes aware of, is either aware of Nathan or becomes aware of Hippie Fiasco or is a friend, what they call themselves, the Creepers on our webcast, or they're recommended, you know, it's recommended to them by a friend or a friend of a friend or a family member. And what they do is they acclimate themselves to what we're doing, go to our website, which is hippiefiasco.com, H-I-P-P-Y. It's actually the spelling of the guy's name. And they go to that page and they click on Host a Fiasco and they fill out a request form. And we review the request forms here, and anything that sounds like it's going to be super fun and epic, we really try to get onto our radar and build our trajectory, you know, build it into our trajectory. And, you know, I can't specifically know exactly how the one happened in Knoxville, but the request came in. It was obviously good enough that we thought that it would be fun for everybody involved, you know, from, you know, us to the people who are hosting it and the people who are going to be attending it. And it's super interesting for me. Typically when a tour is booked, you have, you know, a beginning and an end destination, and you're so far in advance that you can build your flight path based on how you want it and the venues that you want to hit and the cities that you want to go to. But this is totally different because we're being called out to specific cities. It's all been done sort of backwards. We're planning our trajectory based on the people who want us there the most. And it's super interesting and been super fun, and it's about to get really exciting. The first leg was done. We knew that we were going to be going to a festival. Nathan had the Swanee Festival booked in Florida, and we were leaving from California. And so we had that flight path, and we kind of knew, and we threw that out there. And it was really easy. We sort of did it all in a straight line across the South, stopping by South by Southwest. This is totally different. We're getting back to High Sierra or 4th of July weekend in California, and that's our end goal. But we're going so randomly throughout the country as effectively and efficiently as possible. But we're doing the Midwest before we do the Northeast, even though we're in the East now, because we've got a couple festival gigs there. We've got the Del Fest
And we have the Mountain Jams Festival, which is our last shot at our last day on the East Coast before we head back across the country for High Sierra Music Festival.
Sure. And is it safe to say that because the tour is going this way, you're going to towns that you might not have if it was a traditional tour, and being able to reach out to people that maybe wouldn't have heard of Nathan's work or things of that sort otherwise?
Well, that, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, typically, I think that would be the right answer. I think if we had sat down and penned this tour out, I don't think we would have been coming to Knoxville.
Fayetteville.
Or Fayetteville.
Wait, where are we talking?
Knoxville.
Oh, gotcha.
But because Michael was aware of us and called us there, it makes great sense that we go there, and I think that that's the magic of what we're doing.
Yes.
You know, there's people that wouldn't have ever heard, I mean, obviously one person there knows who Nathan is and what we're doing, but how many people are going to come to the fiasco and become enlightened or become fans or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who are not familiar with Nathan's work, can you kind of describe the sound and, the music that he makes?
Nathan?
Yeah, go ahead. Describe me.
Jeez. Nathan?
He's talking about me.
Build me up.
He does a lot. Nathan, I'm just going to talk personally about Nathan and his music and maybe as a person to me. I've worked in the music industry for a while, working with some San Francisco bands for maybe like 7 years or something like that. And in that, part of the routine is going to music festivals. And one of those music festivals is High Sierra Music Festival, which is a big thing out in the West Coast for a lot of San Francisco bands. And I remember seeing Nathan when he was with the Musement years and years and years ago and just being like, oh my God, I really love what this guy is saying, and since then watched him transform into to switch up into Nathan Solo and Surprising Mr. Davis and all the Camp Harry things, which is a late night camp that is set up there, and just as a fan sitting there going, oh my God, this guy and his words, he's a real prolific poet songwriter, and his voice and spirit is just super amazing. And I was enthralled in that. And one day I got offered to do some work with Surprise Me, Mr. Davis. I can't remember how long ago it was. It was maybe like 2 years ago, something like that. And Nathan and I just really hit it off. And I mean, it was just super amazing to then be like, in the car working with and becoming friends with somebody that I'd been watching for years. And it just seemed like we connected real quickly. And since then, we just started to hang out a lot more, which is funny because we're on opposite sides of the country.
And what would you say is the toughest part or the, biggest obstacle that you guys have seen since you started this?
We're in a gas guzzler.
Yeah,
for one. It's about $100 a day on just putting gas in the car. That's probably the biggest obstacle. I've been touring for so many years, and as a solo artist, the tours for me had gotten so predictable that they were. That it was almost painful, there's something so exciting and refreshing about doing everything just completely differently for a while. That for the most part, I can't believe. I mean, like the 24/7 streaming has been surprisingly draining. That part's pretty exhausting, but the rest is also invigorating. So. I'm in this weird sort of zombie place with it of just excited and tired.
Sure.
but in my heart, I love it because I'm writing a lot. The inspiration's there. We're trying something completely different. I think I feel like we're pioneers. And as an artist, you always want to be on the edge of something, you know. And so it feels good to be on the edge of something. Absolutely. And that's something that I didn't quite feel with the way my solo tours are going. Even though it was slowly growing, it was all just so predictable. I just knew what it was going to be, and that was driving me a little crazy.
I love the fact that when you were asked the biggest obstacle, you said gas, and I think that's, you know, it's a very huge undertaking that we've decided to do and done so quickly and spur of the moment. It has the potential to be really scary and sketchy, but the highs that we've experienced throughout, I mean, there's so many amazing magical moments. I couldn't even list them for you. And I think I know that we both feel, you know, Nathan, Les, and I all feel that way. And that's why there's not really a good answer to what's the biggest obstacle, because the highs are so great.
Sure.
I mean, unbelievable things that have happened that would have never even been expected to have happened, and the level of participation and people believing and helping us out along the way is just phenomenal.
For example,
this might not show up good in the radio.
Yeah, this one. I'll be audible about it since we are on radio. But here's a poster that was made by Ryan Kerrigan, who was following us along, and he made a Hippie Fiasco Rides Again poster for us. We got our car magnets yesterday. Like I say, one got stolen, but we still got a proud one on the back, and we're going to get a couple more. Here's business cards that were sent in from Pickle King for us to say we got a lemon that we've been handing to everybody that we meet, and he gave us 3,000 of those. Kazoo Keeper from the chat sent us a couple of thousand Hippie Fiasco Rides Again stickers that we've been sticking on everything, everywhere we go. So that's just like one example. And then in this box, Molly from Asheville made us paper mache lemon shakers. And also, you know, I'm touring in support of my new album, Dear Puppeteer, and which is one of my finest records to date, I believe. And she made us about 20 of the most amazing sock puppets you've ever seen and let us take them with us on the road.
That's very cool.
How about them?
So that kind of stuff is just so, it's just so wonderful. You know, as I always just wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself, and I think that's what everybody wants, especially creative types. It's you want to be great at what you do, and you want to contribute, but you want to contribute to something greater than yourself, and feeling all these other people finding outlets for their creativity through the fiasco has been just exactly right. It's exactly right.
We're all experiencing that participation. You know, and, like Nathan was saying, everybody like along the way has been being creative in their own way. Pickle King knows how to do, he knows how to do his thing, and Molly knows how to do her thing. And just this is kind of personal, but you know, this whole format with the 24/7 webcast has allowed me to do some of my thing, you know, which is not necessarily answering phone calls and making sure we're where we're at and you know, making sure we got all the cables and all that, but it's allowed me to be more interactive with fans or creepers or people watching the webcast. And it's kind of an interesting thing, you know, to walk it into a room and have somebody know who you are before you get there when you're not the focus of the act.
Sure.
One of the reasons I knew the webcast was going to be so good is because we've always, when whenever I've toured with Chad and we ride in a Suburban, there's never been a radio. So we've never had that normal way of driving. It's always sort of been Chad and Liz in the front seat riffing and Chad making Liz and I laugh. And I knew sort of at the beginning that Chad and Liz would come out of this being sort of, you know, television stars, because there's just such great people and such great personalities. And I think it's a very, maybe Fiasco Rides Again is a brilliantly cast program, reality program.
Sure. And obviously one of the benefits is the fact that this is so new and it is so different as far as the format and everything. Do you guys hope that other artists and other bands kind of follow in your footsteps later in the line, or do you like the fact that you're just kind of doing your own thing by yourself and it is new for right now?
I just hope when other artists follow our format that other people comment that, or I hope that, you know, like people say, I'm going to Google something, that when other artists do it, people are saying that they're now fiascoing or
sure.
some kind of lingo we get to take credit for.
Absolutely. And for just as kind of a recap, what kind of thing or what can people expect at the event when they come check you guys out here at Peachtree in Knoxville in a couple weeks?
Well, they can expect a definitely a fiasco. I mean, they can expect a songwriter that has been dedicated to the craft of songwriting since he was a young lad and has been doing it for a long time and has something to say with it, and they can expect to be expected to participate in some way. It's funny because I've always thought that as an artist or whatever, I, for those on the radio, I just made the quote signs. but I've always felt that my music, you have to meet it halfway. And I've always felt like that. I'm not the kind of songwriter that's going to wow you or impress you with my guitar playing or my huge voice or anything like that, but if you meet me halfway, something does tend to happen. And that's always been the case for the 20 years that I've been working professionally. The people that have met me halfway have become lifelong friends and fans. And so this is just taking that reality I've always lived with and kicking it up several notches to where, like, not only do I want you to meet me halfway as a listener, but I want you to help me make the music itself. Even if you're not a musician, we have a kazoo for you. And so that's what they can expect, a seasoned songwriter that wants you to sing with them and play with them and make music together that couldn't be made apart.
Sure. Very cool. Well, we got to wrap things up. Is there anything else you guys would like to add before we head into the event? Like I said, here coming up pretty soon.
I thought this was just a dry run. Now we're going to do it for real, right?
Well, we could do that.
No, as long as you're happy, we're happy. We spent the whole week here at the corporate headquarters trying to clarify the story that we're trying to tell and the objectives of what's going on, because we do realize that even though we've been doing it for a month and a half, people have been struggling to get their brains around it. People still ask us if the camera's on, and people still ask us if the camera's on, and people still say, oh, they're not coming to my town, I guess I won't host a fiasco. We just really need people to understand that if we're not coming to your town, it's because we haven't gotten the invitation yet. So please send us the invitation. We'd love to come play with you. My music's really easy to get a hold of. I stream my entire life's work for free. Everything except for my latest record, Dear Puppeteer, is streaming for free at nathanmoore.org, and you can get there through the Hippie Fiasco website. So it's really easy to explore me, YouTube me or whatever, and find out what I'm about as a musician. And if the music resonates with you, then let's get it on. Let's do it.
Very cool.
And if anybody wants to kind of catch our our drift, our vibe, what we're putting out there. They can watch us live 24/7 until Independence Day at hippiefiasco.com, and it's really easy to do and really easy to participate and play along with us as we travel. And you know, we hope hope that a lot of you will come out and see us live, but also see us, you know, while you're home and you're lazy boy eating your chips.
Come ride with us.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very
it
cool.
is fun. It's a real perspective on what you know what goes on a tour.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of an inside peek most people don't get to see, so it's very cool. I love the idea. I think it's great.
We could talk for hours about it.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to talk, call the hotline.
Exactly. We could go on and on.
Very cool. Well, thanks, guys, for taking some time out, and I hope things continue to go well, and we'll see you here in Knoxville shortly.
I cannot wait. Thank you so much for taking the time, too.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.